Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the fourth edition of the Transpyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Pedaled, Tailfin, Komoot, and Peak Design. Day four at TPR, and as the sun rises on the 700 plus kilometer raid parkour, the same three riders currently maintain the podium positions, with leader Robin Gemperla, cap number one, still chased by Anatol Naimi, cap 44, and then Manuel Rudaz, cap 31. Fiona Kolbinger, cap number 4, is also on the raid parkour and has re-established a lead over Molly Weaver, cap number 9, as the fastest two women in the race so far. Further back, the team in control car 1 slept overnight at control point 3 and have woken to find a series of riders who've made the decision to scratch, to end their race. Tom Probert, race reporter.
Good morning. It is the morning of day 4. Here on the TPR, we've just woken up and just been having our breakfast in the hotel opposite the control point, which closed last night at 8 p.m. And I've just found a single speed bike outside the restaurant here, leaned up against the wall in this very compact alleyway, tiny little cobbled street, very, very steep, kind of hugging the contours of this mountainous region. And a single speed bike can only mean one thing. It must be cap number 49, Sergei Shulubin, who's well known for doing these races without gears. So hopefully he'll come out to get his bike and we'll get to have a chat with him. So I just overheard that you're having to scratch here at CP3, is that right?
Yeah, I don't have a race spirit anymore, unfortunately.
So it's kind of, you've lost the motivation to push on and get to the end really quickly, right?
Yeah, because yesterday it was, I was very motivated and I was in a hurry trying to get it to at a very last moment, and I thought I was close, but that rocky part was just, it destroyed me in some sense.
You've ridden every edition of TPR now. How do you feel not being able to complete the fourth one?
Don't ask me. I don't know yet, because it's like every time I'm very frustrated, but after that, when I'm looking at the photos and decide that it's something which I have to be there again, because it's like a sort of different reality which you get into it and you miss it, and like next time, usually you said, okay, maybe it's worth another try and something like this. And well, it's really adventure, so something to remember in spite of his troubles. It's like every time it's a new experience. So.
Sam Wilson, cap 85, is another rider who's decided to scratch due to an unresolvable mechanical issue.
I understand you just missed the time cut, did you?
Yeah, about 8 minutes late coming into Taller, so I probably shouldn't have had a bit of extra sleep yesterday morning, but I've just cracked my rim on the way down, so I've had to scratch.
How did that feel then, arriving last night?
Well, it was so dark, so I couldn't actually see, so I only checked this morning if it was rideable or not, but I did hear a ding, so had some good sleep, had a good breakfast, the hiker bike took it out of me, so I needed some rest and recovery, and then checked it this morning, and it's not safe to ride on, unfortunately.
How are you feeling this morning, kind of adjusting to the reality of, you know, your race changing, I guess, and that making that mental adjustment? What's that been like?
I'm pretty positive, to be honest. This is my first kind of big ultra. I did a shorter one in the summer, which was good, but just all on road, so this was kind of next level. So now I've done like 600k in 3 days, so I'm pretty happy with that. Happy with what I've done. It is what it is. These things happen, don't they?
Shaun Alaba has type 1 diabetes and is riding TPR with the necessary medication. After missing the GC cutoff at CP3 last night, this morning he briefly lost his insulin pump to cap off a challenging 24 hours. Thankfully, he was able to find the pump at the hotel he'd been staying at.
So we're just running through the streets of Tula, Odessa. I'm trying to find Shaun Alaba because he's apparently gone back to his hotel and found his insulin pump. So hopefully we can find him and hear all about what's happened.
Blood sugar levels were all over the place last night, probably just from the adrenaline. Didn't get much sleep in my hotel. Yeah, and then I decided to wake up early this morning, like 5 or 4 o'clock-ish, and just get a move on. And I was wondering why my sugar levels were so high. I was like, this is not normal. But I didn't hear any alarms. So I was like, okay, something's not right. But I didn't think of anything because I was just carrying on, just getting on with it. And then, like, I got up and over the climb, down, and then I made the wrong turn. And I was like, so I stopped and just looked, checked my phone to see what my blood sugar levels were. I was like, something's not right. And I realised I left my insulin pump at the hotel. Yeah, it's one of those things you just have to go back and get for because it costs about $3,500. And yeah, so I had to turn around in a bit of a panic, cycle back up the mountain, down, and now I'm going to eat some food and go back up it again.
Out on the Ray Parkour, our leading riders continue to race within reaching distance of one another. Race reporter Stuart Downey manages to speak to Anatol Naimi as he climbs the 2,100 plus metres of the iconic Col du Tourmalet, the highest paved mountain pass in the French Pyrenees. When Stuart spoke to him last night, Anatol was hoping to find a place that he'd remembered near the Col du Bisque to catch some sleep.
I wanted to go to the foot of Col du Bisque, but there was like this small climb before. I thought, I was like, oh, I was falling asleep for the first time since the start, so I found a school, I just slept there, and then I mean outside, and then I was happy. I haven't tried a Marie Blanc, which was like a pain.
Tough, huh?
Oh, do you know it?
Yeah.
This one and Obisco, it was really long, but...
Beautiful weather today.
It's quite cool in the morning. It's a front wind here, so it's gonna be fine. Then, I don't know, it's poke-a-poke. One and then the other one and then the other one.
As Anatol heads east, he crosses paths with Matt Brady, Cap 19, who is taking on the Tourmalet in the other direction, on his way west at a very different pace, but still soaking up what the Pyrenees has to offer.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. It must be a perfect day. There's virtually no traffic. There's no cyclists. I'm not getting beaten by loads of people. I think 2 people on electric bikes have come past me, and that's fine. And the cattle, I do like the cattle just wandering about. That's quite good.
There's llamas up there as well.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've not seen them yet.
You took that off the list.
I wasn't expecting to see llamas, I have to say.
Yeah, no, so it's kind of a bizarre one. Did you see, we've just come up from the other side following Anatol, who's in second position at the moment. Did you see him coming down on the descent?
Yes, I did.
Setting a devil's pace.
He sort of said hello, as you can at that pace.
Yeah.
Hannah Lobelestier, race director.
So, control car 1 has just left Tola Odessa. It's mid-morning now, and we spent the morning there catching up with riders who'd missed the time cut last night. We were also hanging around for a while just to make sure that Andreas Klaus got down safely from the mountain. We saw that he bivvied at the top there last night, and he was in a bit of a cell signal black spot on his way down, and we just wanted to make sure that he was safe and well before we headed on our way. But now we're making tracks and heading to France yet again. We're going to try and catch a few riders on the Raid Parkour, so some of that chasing pack who are behind the front 3, and then we're going to get to Parkour 4 this evening to catch those riders trying to make the time cut at CP4 tonight.
Later, the team find themselves in the town of Laroon, where riders travelling both east and west are passing through. It's a good place to stop, take a short break, and resupply. Tom runs into Anna Hype, Cap 91.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, so much. Yeah. Look at this, it's so beautiful.
Can you describe the view around us?
Oh, it's. I think we are at the end of the valley, and it's just mountain peaks, and really beautiful little villages also. so it's quite nice.
How's your day been so far?
Oh, I had a beautiful rest at a hotel. I would like a little guest house. So it was, I felt like a new person this morning. I mean, it's the time cut. I had this like goal to make it, but then I was like, I will not make it. I've had like a second of sadness, but then I'm like, it's such a like, I came here for the route and for the adventure, so I'm gonna cycle on it. Time doesn't matter so much.
Andy Booth, Cap 79.
I'm gonna get control point 3 and then keep going from there. I know it's close. Don't really care. Just trying to keep going.
Okay, yeah.
See where I get to.
So it hasn't affected your approach to the race then? You're just going to carry on as normal?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't really know how I was going to do, so I thought I'd just see how it goes, enjoy the adventure. Pretty confident I could at least get round to the control points, even if I don't fully get round the raid parkour. So.
Yeah. And are you one half of the brothers? Is that right? Yeah, and do you know how your brother's doing?
I promise you I was a slower brother. He's somewhere near the coast, I think, now. We've got a family WhatsApp group where my dad just keeps asking where he is and telling him to be careful. Yeah. But he's doing fine.
We'll try and catch him tonight, because that's where we're heading. So let us know if you've got a message to send him.
Yeah, don't scratch.
Marco Stolder, Cap 39, is also in La Rune, but riding east. He's ridden a fantastic race so far.
Do you know like what position you're in?
I looked at the tracker this morning. I think I was in position 5. Uh-huh. No, I passed one guy this morning at night.
Okay.
So that's why maybe I should be on 4th position.
You're another Swiss rider. Do you know Robin at all?
No, I don't know him. But he's an architect as well.
So
that's a bit funny.
So that's the biggest predictor of success is being a Swiss architect.
True. You know, it needs a lot of endurance building all these models and all the stuff, you know.
Exactly. Have you been enjoying the architecture in the Pyrenees?
Yeah, it's great. This little town before was really nice with this little park. Uh-huh. In the middle. Have you seen it?
Yeah, we just saw it, yeah.
It's perfect. It tells a lot of history.
Yeah. So you've been able to enjoy the surroundings and the beauty as well as racing, yeah?
Of course.
Nice. Stuart here from Control Car 2. It's a little after midday. We're on the summit of the Perisord, which is one of the less high peaks on the raid parkour. It's just above 1,500 metres. There is barely a cloud in the sky. It's pretty hot now as well, and there's a kind of light breeze. Be offering a little bit of respite. We have just passed Robin Gamperla Cap number 1 on the ascent, and we're hoping to kind of grab him just in the final meters before the summit to see how he's doing. How's he?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Mentally, it's really tough. Somehow, it's way tougher than I expected. Mentally, and I didn't think Anatol would be that strong.
Sure.
I expected him to explode like 3 days in, but it's more me exploding. I just want to sleep 3 hours tonight and not 90 minutes. Yeah. That's mainly why. But I don't think he'll crack. I think he'll just hang on. Yeah. And then we both, maybe then he will sleep 90 minutes and I will try and sleep 3 hours, then we'll be tight.
We are on the Orquette de Ancizan. We've just spotted Manuel Rudaz, Cap 31, on his way up. There's also some wonderful horses there. Fetlocks are blowing majestically in the wind, and you can hear the bells around their necks tinkling merrily. Let's see if Manuel's in a similar mood and will chat to us. Manuel, how are you? You enjoying the parkour?
Yeah, this one is very nice. It's sunny, so it's a big day, it's a beautiful day.
You've done some big climbs so far, huh?
Tourmalet, it was the second time, and we are going to Persourd, and then a lot of other ones. Don't remember the name. The faster I get to Girona, the sooner I will be on holiday and with the feet on the beach sand in Tossa de Mar or Ibiza, I don't know. I want to finish it.
Jocelyn Roth, Cap 55, has been in the top 10 riders throughout the race so far and is currently tackling the beautiful Col d'Aubisque.
You're in race mode.
Yeah, starting, you know. Yeah. Still have 2 days, but yeah, I would say. And I'm super rested. So yesterday I went to a hotel.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel anything, any pain.
Right.
Anything. So, and I was super fresh in the morning. So that was a very good sign. And it was as if I started the race this morning, let's say.
Right.
And now I can... push. Let's see, maybe tonight is another story, but
right now
it's feeling good. Yeah, last time I came 2 years ago was my first ultra.
Okay.
And I started really slowly and pushed at the end, and I managed to like be much better at the end.
Yeah.
Just organization wise and everything. Yeah. And now I'm more trained, but I still wanted to do the first 3 days quite chill.
Yeah,
not pushing myself.
Ah.
And let's see if it works again.
Lovely.
But I hope to be better on the coming back. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll be one to watch then for the second half.
Yeah. Or maybe the one who explodes.
Yeah.
I don't know. but yeah, it's the plan. And it's also, yeah, I want it to be an adventure, you know.
Yeah.
So the ranking is just a motivation to get up and be on your bike.
Yeah.
But the surroundings is the essential, and the introspection of all this 5-6 days is really nice, and it's really I think it's good for the mind also.
Yeah.
Not to be in always in race mode, just to be managing and doing your thing.
Christian Dupraz, Cap 37.
How are you doing today?
Fine, had a good night in a bus stop.
Uh-huh. the classic ultra distance technique of the bus stop. Was it a luxury one?
Yeah, it was clean and well protected.
Uh-huh.
Because of the dew in the night, I wanted some cover.
Yes. And did it work?
Yeah, fine.
Right. And have you been sleeping outside every night?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So the first two nights were especially cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that hasn't affected you really?
Second night I did not sleep so well.
Uh-huh.
Feet were a little bit frozen.
Okay. And I noticed your bike when we were at registration.
Yeah.
It's very, very distinctive, quite different to most other bikes.
Not ordinary steel frame, but it's a steel frame made in Switzerland.
Yeah, it's it looks like a proper old school frame with with lugs.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's made in Zurich by Ruby Stolz. Uh-huh. He still makes them like this.
Amazing. And how old is the bike?
I actually don't know it because I bought it used.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And how long have you had it? Has it been on lots of adventures?
Yes, since 8 years.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Thank you. It's even more beautiful with its originally hubs.
Oh,
blue Chris King hubs.
Nice.
But then I thought the rims would not be strong enough.
Uh-huh.
Mid-afternoon, and Tom catches up with Fiona Kolbinger, who is also making her way up the Col d'Aubisque.
I have no idea how my joints, my entire body is doing this.
Yeah.
I'm very, very surprised, honestly. I'm ahead of my own schedule. I'm just really enjoying it. I don't have any pain. At least nothing, you know, like, I mean, a bit of saddle sores, but that's pretty much what I'm used to.
Yeah.
At this point in a race.
Are you thinking at all about where you're in the race compared to other women? Or is it just, apart from enjoying the experience, how you're doing in general?
Right now I think I'm in top 10 overall, which is something I find pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think Molly is also doing great, just behind me, so but you know, like, in the end it's a race that everybody races against themselves, and
yeah,
that's what I what I'm thinking about, and it's insane the pace that Robin is putting on.
Yeah, I guess you probably feel privileged to kind of be part of something that's growing and evolving, or are you like, damn, everyone's getting better?
In first place right now, I feel privileged to be on a bike and not running like you. But yeah, it's really cool. It's also cool to see women represented. I would love to see more. I haven't seen a lot of change in the percentages of participants that are female. So that's something I don't really understand. Why so few women line up for these races?
Yeah.
We see great performances by women. Jana's performance on the TCR, Molly's performance here.
Yeah.
Women are consistently placing in the top 10 and many are top 20 of many of the even competitive races. I don't know, but I would love to see more female riders.
So what would your message be then to women out there?
Just sign up. Just look for a race that features your strengths. If you're a good climber, look for a climbing race. If you're a good, I don't know, if you are really good at riding overnight, look for a two-day race where you don't need to sleep. So yeah, just look for something that suits your strengths.
Amazing.
Over on the Atlantic coast, a number of riders are making their way along Parkour 4, the famous Heiskebel mountain range, with its stunning views over the Atlantic Ocean. From here, the aim is to ride on and make it to Control Point 4 before the cut-off time for general classification at midnight. Graham Stewart, Cap 28.
How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad, but I've had a bit of a medical issue, so it's put me back.
Oh, Adam. Dr. Adam, this is your time to shine. He's been waiting for this the whole race.
Finally got something.
Talk
to
us through it.
I won't elaborate.
Oh. Put it that way. Right, I see.
It's sorted now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and stand down.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it's... No, I was lucky it sort of struck when I was in Irum, really, because, you know, the pharmacy's just down the road. It was still open. It wasn't lunchtime. And I could sort of... sort it out, but I did blow about 12 hours there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got in late because I misjudged that as well, so I thought I was going to get there about, I don't know, 3 a.m. or so, and I got in about 8:30. So I got their breakfast, which isn't great anywhere in Ibis, and then just sort of had to sort myself out, and then crack on. Fortunately, Mrs. reminded me that the cut-off is midnight tonight, because otherwise I'd have just stayed in bed.
So did you have more time than you thought, or less time than you thought?
Not enough sleep, because I was sorting myself out. So less time of that, less food than I wanted, but I spent more time there, if you know what I mean. So it was the worst of all worlds, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, living
there. You should be on track now.
Yeah, I hope so.
Having just made it in time to CP3 yesterday evening, Caroline Buckland, Cap 34, is looking good for making another control point cutoff tonight.
Did you manage to catch that sunset going over the climb there?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. I kind of forgot the sea was there, and then I looked over and I was like, oh, that's nice. I forgot that was there.
Can you paint a picture of the scene for us up here?
Well, do you know what, actually, you could see it coming, because obviously it's quite flat around this area by the sea, and you can just see this huge, about 500 metre mound plateau, and I was like, that's it, that's definitely what we're going to go and do. But it's beautiful. If I was living by the sea, I'd love to have this on my doorstep. Yeah, it's beautiful.
You feel quite different from where you were 24 hours ago.
Yeah, I actually quite like it, because there's something around when there are lots of activities and humans and shops opening and a bit of a buzz. It makes you feel a little bit more comforted rather than always being somewhere in the wilderness. So I've quite enjoyed it, actually. And also then there's come the flats as well. So had some stretches where you're like, oh, I'm doing 28 kilometres an hour. I couldn't remember how to do this. I thought it wasn't possible to go over 18 anymore.
Finally, Paul Williams is another rider on Parkour 4, and things so far have been going to plan on the race.
How was that little section?
It was great. Lovely, lovely climb. Hopefully the photographs will be the iconic photos on my wall when I'm old. The sunset in the background, the sea. It's nice to see the sea.
Yeah, how does it feel to reach the coast? Is that significant?
It's brilliant. I'm exactly where I want to be. It's end of day 4, And well, as long as I get to checkpoint 4 before midnight, it's 45k away, then I'm on schedule. I was never going to be competitive in this race. The difference between me and the people at the front is like the difference between a club runner and Mo Farah. I'm a normal bloke in his 50s who enjoys cycling, and one of my cycling ambitions is to complete the TPR within the time frame. And so if I get there by the party, then I'm very happy. You can't stop things going wrong. It's just how you deal with them and the resilience that you have that really counts. And so I'm happy, and normally by day 4 of a long ride I'm either starting to fail or I'm getting stronger, and fortunately this time I'm feeling a bit stronger, so all good.
Join us in our next episode to see how the race plays out as our riders close in on the finish line in Girona. Will Robin be able to keep pushing and follow up his win at TCR with another here at the Trans-Pyrenees race? Or will Anatole have what it takes to track him down and overtake as the Mediterranean Sea looms large? It's been a race that's had everything, so there could well be a few surprises still in store. You can read Stuart's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dog website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Pedaled, Telfin, Komoot, and Peak Design.